Hello again, everybody. This is Lance Russell with Championship Wrestling with another big week. Join us right now.
Hey, welcome to the Double Dropkick Show. I'm Heath Mulliken.
I'm Mark Whitman.
And this is the wrestling podcast. We talk about the wrestling you grew up with, the wrestling you need to watch now, and stuff. And I've been excited. We've starting this a little bit late this year, but it's time for our Ultimate Fantasy Wrestling Tournament. This is something we did last year that was so much fun. Our final four last year from that tournament. Here's what we did last year. We had four 32-man brackets, one for WCW/NWA, one for WWE, one for current wrestlers, and one for miscellaneous, New Japan, ECW. Narrowed that down. The final four, John Cena, The Undertaker, Bill Goldberg, and Mitsuhiro Misawa. The finals, Mitsuhiro Misawa and Undertaker. Mark, one of the best matches we've ever.
That's it. Why don't you bring everybody up to date on what happened in that match?
It was a hard-hitting match. Misawa took some bumps on his head, kicked out of the tombstone, gave The Undertaker a tombstone of his own. But in the end, with maybe the upset of upsets, but Misawa beat Lesnar. He went through a murderer's row.
He did.
And if you don't know, we have decided those two men will meet in the first round of this year's tournament.
That's right.
But what we've got for you today, we have taken, and we switched some people out, but we've taken that WCW, NWA, Mid-Atlantic group, 32 wrestlers, so we got 16 matches. This is a blind draw. Mark has zero idea the matches I'm about to throw out at him and look for him to think of and finish. So in all, this is a 128-man bracket. Yeah. This is the greatest undertaking in the history of undertakings.
It is.
Listen, there is no other podcast, and by podcast I mean something you can listen to in audio version. There is no other podcast that has sought to take upon themselves such an endeavor.
They're not stupid.
It's a foolhardy effort.
And they probably have lives of their own.
So here we go. Match number one, Lex Luger and Paul Orndorff.
Man. Are we talking 70s era Paul Orndorff, 90s Lex Luger, late 80s Lex Luger with the Orndorff that faced Hulk Hogan?
I would say both men at 100 in their prime. Paul Orndorff with two good arms.
Mm-hmm. I got to go with Lex Luger with the torture rack.
Yeah.
Because that's, I mean, honestly, that was Paul Orndorff's role.
Yeah.
Was to put a baby face over.
Right.
He did it well. He was great at what he did, but I got to give the nod to Lex Luger. I think he's ultimately probably a little bit bigger star.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that. And I never did like whenever Paul Orndorff was playing a baby face, I didn't believe it.
No, he wasn't a good baby face.
No.
He was a great heel.
Yeah, oh, really great heel. Yeah, really, really, really good. And, last time we saw him rocking that just awesome mustache.
Oh, it was a cool mustache, yeah.
Yeah. But even to this day, don't mess with Paul Orndorff.
No, I think he'd probably still knock you out.
Yeah, yeah. Here's our next match, Terry Taylor and Lord Steven Regal.
Lord Steven Regal.
Right. Yes. I didn't think that would be a hard one to get. I'm trying to... Who did Regal? I got last year's bracket. Well, Regal didn't even make it to the final. Oh, he faced RVD in the first round last year.
Oh,
but if you go back, I mean, you never know what can happen. Last year, HBK wasn't even in the final tournament.
Mm-hmm.
But The Rock wasn't even in the final tournament. Both right. of those men lose it. So, all right, next one. Booker T, Magnum TA.
That's a good one. I got to go with Booker T, man.
Yeah.
I think, and not just, I think he was, even if you take everything else out of consideration, the longevity and whatnot.
Yeah.
I think he was better in the ring than Magnum T.A. was.
Yeah, I think these could be some great promos leading up to it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Booker, his athleticism is really underrated.
I agree.
Especially for a man. I don't think people think of Booker T as being as big, as large as he is.
He is a very large man.
And once you meet him and you see how big he is, it makes some of the stuff he did. I mean, he used to do that flipping leg drop.
Mm-hmm.
Just great athleticism. And
I've always been a fan of Booker T. I'm voting because that's what we do now, I think, in tournaments and stuff. Let's just vote for her.
Vote for your favorites.
Vote for my favorites.
So the final but listen, fans, if you're listening to this and you're expecting to get Hogan, Austin, Flair, and
Rock.
Rock in the finals, that ain't going to happen.
No, I will make sure that doesn't happen.
Right. Here we go. Here's a good match.
This is just the first round. I'm just thinning the herd.
That's right. And this is not Heath and Mark picking
their favorite wrestler.
Yeah, right? This is we are trying to legitimately book a tournament to draw a crowd, to draw ratings, to get pay-per-view buys.
Uh-huh.
And
the first couple of matches, the first series of matches in those tournaments are probably not setting a whole lot up.
Right.
They're going to be your standard. Let's get out there, do 15 minutes, and then get out.
Yeah.
Kind of matches.
Dusty Rhodes and Greg Valentine.
Dusty Rhodes.
Right.
I don't even think. It's a fact. He's a bigger draw on the national level. I mean, he's, you know.
Here's the thing. When Dusty was coming into Crockett, Valentine was leaving.
Mm-hmm.
I guess my question is, have Dusty Rhodes and Greg Valentine ever had an extended one-on-one program?
I don't know. But speaking of our patrons group, only group, did you see the match I posted the other day with Dusty Rhodes and Bruiser Brody, the 2 out of 3 falls?
I have not watched it yet.
It was good, man. It's cool to see.
Also, did you post?
Did I post what?
It was Johnny Valentine and somebody. That was really good.
Yeah. Wild Bull Curry.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a good match. Hard-hitting match. But Bull Curry actually did a deal one time. I don't know what happened, but he hit somebody with a brick in the ring.
Yeah.
And so got arrested, and they would just let him out on the weekends to have matches and stuff like that.
Oh, that's funny.
But yeah, it was cool to watch the Brody and Dusty match, to see two guys who have a reputation for kind of making sure that they both stay strong, and to watch the psychology of a match.
Right.
Between two guys like that who knew how to protect their self in front of people.
Yeah.
And to watch that match. There wasn't a lot of bumping.
Right.
If one guy would sell for a minute and then make a comeback, the other guy would sell and make a comeback. And to watch the psychology of that match is a lesson in how two guys can go out, have a match with each other, and both of them come out of it looking and smelling strong.
Yeah. And the only place to see that in the entire world is on our patrons group, patreon.com/doubledropkick.
I'm sure there's other places you can see it, but I know where to find them.
No. And one thing we're hoping to do is start taking some matches like that and doing commentary and putting that in our patrons group. Mm-hmm. Some of the old school matches that you can't find anywhere.
Right.
But adding, our own unique, really, I mean, making it better. Yeah. Now, let's just be honest.
Yeah.
Making it better.
It will be, because some of the commentary by some of the people that were doing it back then is not that great.
No, it is not. I still go back to the AWA tape I had of the Road Warriors, and the dude couldn't tell Animal and Hulk apart.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what is wrong with you? Okay, our next match. Good. This is going to be a good one. Barry Windham and DDP.
Hmm. Oh, I bet that would be a good match, man. Especially a young Barry Windham.
Right. Was there a harder worker than DDP?
I mean, I guess that's debatable. I don't know.
I mean, is it really debatable? I mean, if I say it, doesn't that really end the debate?
Well, it does. I mean, I'm sure, guys like John Cena may come into conversation. Hogan was a pretty...
I mean, John Cena, perhaps the greatest hustler. Hulk Hogan. All right.
Steve Austin, The Rock. I mean,
But what I mean is, just
an underdog.
He was an underdog, yeah, and just had no business. I'm had no sure. business have a Hall of Fame
right.
career.
It's kind of hard to compare it. Like, The Rock is one of those guys that was probably born standing up with a 5 o'clock shadow.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so it's kind of hard to, you know. When you have to face a guy, like, comparing you to The Rock is not necessarily fair.
Right. Right. Speaking of Rock, I was reading somewhere about his relationship with his dad or something. Saw a picture of his dad, maybe from WrestleCade. He wasn't looking too good. When we met him at FanFest, he was looking all right, but he just not looking
too
good.
Getting old, you know.
That happens.
That's going to happen to all of us.
Oh, man. Not me, brother. All right. Barry Windham, DDP, what are your thoughts?
Let's see. I think Barry looks strong and DDP hits him with a diamond cutter.
I got no problem with that. And now you've set DDP. I mean, I would consider that a minor upset.
I think that's a match could go either way.
Yeah, yeah. That's the first match we've talked about that really could have gone either way. Harley Race and Scott Steiner.
Oh, man. You know who wins in that match? Me.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
Everybody who gets to watch it.
Yeah.
That's a good match, man. That's a good hard-hitting match.
Would you agree? This is what I would think, and I would want your opinion. I would think pre-Big Papa Pump Scott Steiner has a better match with Harley Race than Papa Pump Scott Steiner.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, there's no doubt. There's no doubt.
Scott Steiner was so good, man.
He really was. Like, people that only saw the Bleach Blonde, Big Bad, you know, Big Papa Pump,
yeah,
they missed out.
Right.
On a guy that was ahead of his time.
Yeah.
He was very, very innovative. Scott Steiner was a lot better than people give him credit for being.
Yeah.
But, man, Harley is Harley.
That's right.
How do you beat Harley Race? But how do you know what I mean?
That's right. No, I'm right there with you. I'm right there with you.
Let's come back to that one.
Okay. All right. You know who Harley Race faced in the first round last year? Kenta Kobashi.
Not an easy road for Harley Race in this tournament.
Here's our next match. Again, we saw this match a little bit on a pay-per-view with a leather strap. Arn Anderson and Kevin Sullivan.
Oh, man. That'd be a good match, but I think Arn wins.
Yes, Arn Anderson. I absolutely agree that he wins here. Next, JYD and Ron Simmons.
Oh, man. Stuff right there, man.
JYD, who beat Kurt Angle last year in the tournament. Boy, they got us some hate mail. Not hate mail, but JYD and Ron Simmons.
I put that one up there with almost racing Steiner. It's hard to call.
Yeah. Give them about 7 or 8 minutes, see what they do. And
I think Ron Simmons takes it. I think Ron is a legitimate tough guy. He's a legitimate collegiate athlete.
Yeah.
I think he's an all-around badass.
Yeah.
You know? And so I got to go with Ron Simmons.
I think moving forward, Ron Simmons is a better matchup.
Yeah, I think so too. Especially against Arn Anderson.
Well, he wouldn't be wrestling Arn Anderson.
Oh, would he not? Okay.
No, he's on down here.
Okay, I got you.
All right, next we've got, I believe this is going to be a snot bubble match, Blackjack Mulligan, Ronnie Garvin.
Oh, man, I love it, but I got to go with Blackjack Mulligan.
Yes, Blackjack Mulligan wasn't even in the tournament last year, wasn't even in the prelims, so he was one of those additions this year.
He was my addition.
That's right. Thank you.
He's going in the tournament.
Next we got a match we saw in real life, and again, a lot of these matches, this is all NWA guys this go around. Dick Murdoch and Nikita Koloff.
I think Dick Murdoch, just because he's going to have better matches down the line.
Yeah. And you don't, in a tournament like this.
And I'm a fan of Dick Murdoch.
Right. And in a tournament like this, Nikita is a gimmick.
Yes.
And in a tournament like this, at some point you can start using that. But in the beginning, it's not really that big of a deal with it. So Dick Murdoch over Nikita Koloff. Next, we've got one of our Final Four members, Goldberg and Jim Duggan. Goldberg. I didn't think the wheels were turning. I thought you were mocking me for even asking you, but now I see the wheels are turning.
Well, and there's a reason, because people forget how much of a legit guy Duggan was when he was in Mid-South.
And, that's right.
And, you know, it's not – it depends on where you're taking this tournament and who's – what era it's in. And, yeah, Goldberg was cool, but, man, who's really going to have better matches down the road? Is it going to be Jim Duggan?
Yeah.
Or is it going to be Goldberg?
Yeah.
But still, I think at the end of the day, I think Goldberg. I mean, he can't be in the Final Four last year and then go out to Duggan at the beginning.
Well, one of our two finalists is going.
But that's different.
That's right.
An entirely different situation. So I got to go with Goldberg, man. Duggan looks strong. I think he gives him a fight. He puts up a real good fight. But I think Goldberg spears him and jackhammers, and he moves on.
Yeah. Here's another addition we added this year, Tommy Rich, who...
Who's the other guy? Because he's winning.
Vader.
Yeah. You don't even have to ask. Yeah. But you go ahead and say what you wanted to say about Tommy Rich being an addition.
Yeah, he took Dean Malenko's place, and either one of them would have lost to Vader.
Jim Barnett's not booking this tournament, so I'm going with Vader.
That's right. Hey, you know, Tommy Rich booking, got a wrestling school and booking in Myrtle Beach right now and got a show coming up soon. So that's it. You know, if they're going to run regularly and I'm going to cover South Carolina wrestling, that means I got to get down to Myrtle Beach and see Wildfire Wrestling.
That sounds like a road trip, a double dropkick show road trip.
That's right. That's right. Listen, can Myrtle Beach, we thought we were going to Myrtle Beach for the Fan Fest one year.
Yeah.
I don't know if Fan Fest is coming back.
I hadn't heard anything, so I guess not.
We need to do our own Fan Fest. What if we had the Fan Fest was like all these fans and you were coming to meet fans?
What if it was a Fan Fest? Like where you brought in all the fans that you see at the different shows and then all the guys who promoted the Fan Fest, you could get the pictures made with them.
Oh, and then you wouldn't just have, like, an accomplished athlete, professional wrestler, taking a picture with a socially awkward person. Like,
could just bypass the middleman and get your picture made with Tony Hunter.
Yeah, right.
But actually, at my house, if I'm not – I have a picture of me and Tony Hunter.
Really?
Because when I think it was Ricky Steamboat came in.
Yeah.
For three count, we were just testing the camera.
Oh.
Me and Tony were like just testing. Because if you don't know, Tony Hunter books most of
the right. That's right.
For these appearances.
Yeah. He does a lot with big time wrestling.
Right. You can go through him. He's with big time. Anyway, he's the one who would book Ricky Steamboat through. And there's a picture of me and Tony Hunter and his wife somewhere at my house just because we were testing the camera out. And they told me I could keep it.
Framed 8 by 10.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I tried to get him to sign it, but.
Here we go. Sting and Ole Anderson.
Oh. Oh. Oh, man, that's a good one, then. That's tough because, I mean, my heart says Ole.
Right.
And I'm going with Ole because I think Ole's going to get some good heel heat on somebody.
Yeah.
You know, maybe this is the match where he injures a young Sting.
Yeah.
To generate a lot of heel heat so that the next person he faces.
Right.
It makes them a bigger baby face.
There you go. There you go. Or, you know, again, this the story coming out of this round is Ole Anderson, man, he injured Sting. And Ole Anderson, I'm going to put everybody in a hospital. Mm-hmm.
That's Ole saying, look, I don't care about winning this tournament.
Right.
Here's what I care about. Everybody right. that gets in the ring with me, I may not go all the way to the finals, but I promise you up until that point, not only will I not win the tournament, even if a guy beats me, he won't go any further.
Right, and that either. Factors into the booking.
Right.
Brilliant.
Now I'm starting with my storylines going. Now.
There you go. Rick Rude and Wahoo McDaniel.
Oh, that's a match that's happened.
Yeah.
And I got to go with Wahoo, man.
Yeah. And now we've got Wahoo McDaniel and Ole Anderson. Now they're in the same bracket,
oh, man.
But they're not going to be wrestling. They would have to make it to, I believe this would be the Sweet 16.
It's not inconceivable to me that Wahoo McDaniel and Ole Anderson make it to the Sweet 16 in my tournament.
Right. No, that's really cool. So, Ric Flair, Butch Reed.
Ric Flair.
Yeah. Love Butch Reed, but yeah.
Yeah, oh yeah, man. He's a big star.
And here he is. I'm going to be honest. There's been some great matches in this first round. Great matches.
This is not going to be one of them?
No, this may be the one I would most look forward to. Tully Blanchard and Brian Pillman.
Oh, man, yeah. Two guys about the same size.
Right.
I mean, two guys with just grating personalities.
Yeah.
You know, man, that's a good match. That's going to be like a 15-minute barn burner of a match right there.
Right.
And I think Brian Pillman hits that flying body press off the top rope and pins Tully.
Yeah, I think Pillman, Tully makes Pillman look so good.
That you believe that he could beat anybody in that.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
That's the beauty of a guy like Tully Blanchard.
Right.
Is doing his job.
Yeah.
There's so many people that look like big stars just because there's a reason Dusty wanted to work with Tully.
That's right. That's right.
Because that's what Tully was good at. Magnum is a star because he worked with Tully Blanchard.
That's exactly right.
There's no other reason that you think of back on Magnum TA like you do. Except the fact that he worked a program with Tully Blanchard.
Yeah, and it was brilliant.
It was great. And and when they got in the cage, Tully knew what those people were there to see.
Yeah.
There's so much of that missing in wrestling today. When I watched, I'll go back to it, I posted it in our patrons group, Dusty Rhodes and Junkyard Dog against Ted DiBiase, who brought in Skandar Akbar and Kamala to be his partner.
Yeah.
And those two guys, Akbar, DiBiase, and Kamala, knew what those people paid to see that night.
Yeah.
They brought Dusty Rhodes in to work with Junkyard Dog to elevate the Junkyard Dog.
Right.
And everybody in that match knew the purpose of that match was to get Junkyard Dog over. It wasn't for Ted DiBiase to get all his crap in.
Yeah.
It wasn't for Kamala to get all his crap in.
Yeah.
They went out there and they got beat up for 15 minutes and then they got pinned.
Yeah.
Because they knew that that's what the people paid to see that night.
Right.
That's how you blow it off.
Yeah.
And then you can keep going with Junkyard Dog and Ted DiBiase.
Yeah. Because they were going to have to wrestle 5 times a week.
Right.
For the next 6 mm-hmm. weeks.
Because back in that era, and you hear the Horsemen talk about this a lot, didn't matter if they won or lost because they could go back on TV, cut a promo, say it never happened, and get their heat back.
Right.
Because that used to be the art of wrestling.
Yeah.
And that's what's lost today. I tried to watch Raw the other night, and I couldn't do it, man.
I didn't even
attempt. I mean, because I hadn't watched it in a while, and I feel obligated
right.
to try.
Yeah.
You know, to give it a shot every once in a while. I feel obligated to do that.
Yeah.
Because we have the show.
Yeah.
And, dude, it was like about 15 minutes into Roman Reigns and Kurt Angle talking to each other.
Yeah.
I just said, I'm done.
Yeah.
I can't do it anymore, man. I watched back to this match. There were promos before the match because they had beat Dusty up.
Yeah.
And they beat JYD up. And there's like this – 2-minute promo from both guys.
Yeah.
Here's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
You kept on and you pushed us. Well, now you're going to take a dog collar and put it around his neck, attach him to Kamala, and you're going to take a chain, a bull rope, and put it around me and connect it to you, DiBiase. And those are our matches. Those are our stipulations. And yeah. then that was it.
Yeah.
And then DiBiase comes out and says, this ain't right.
That's right.
What do you? This ain't right. This is their match. Why, yeah. You can't put me in a bull rope match with Dusty Rhodes.
Right.
This, you're conspiring against me.
Right. Right.
And that was it. It was that simple. That simple. Kamala, the Ugandan giant, this beast, and Skandar Akbar saying, look, you can't. This man is not good under normal circumstances. He's not right. You go putting chains on him and chaining him to another man. What's he going to do to that other man?
Right.
And that was it. And that was the promo. And it was like 3 minutes worth of promos from five guys.
Yeah.
And then they had the match.
Yeah. I haven't had a chance to watch that one yet. You can watch it.
Nobody was sitting on their hands.
Right.
And nobody was chanting, this is awesome. And nobody was chanting, boring. They were just into the match.
Yeah. Because they thought somebody was going to kill somebody.
Yes.
Yeah. That's when wrestling was...
good.
When everybody got it.
Profitable.
Profitable. Wrestling is not profitable right now.
No.
Wrestling is not profitable.
You know, Billy Corgan he bought the NWA and good for him.
Yeah.
You know, nobody hopes... that it's successful more than me.
Right.
Well, maybe Billy Corgan hopes it is.
Right.
But, I mean, what's he going to do? Have you seen his champion?
Right. 53 years old.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
But there's so much talent out there.
Yeah. And this is the guy.
And this is the guy.
And the match. So they
And it was awful.
They built up this match, him and Magnus.
Mm-hmm. And it was not good. It was not representative of Steamboat and Flair.
Nah.
And even Rhodes and Race.
It was bad. It was awful.
Yeah.
The finish was bad. It was a cluster.
Yes, it was. It was not a good match.
And
I hope they're successful.
So here's something you may not know. So the second guy that challenged Tim Storm.
Mm-hmm.
And they've already had their match, was a guy named Josephus.
Uh-huh.
Who is...
with CZW.
A pot-bellied Bruiser Brody looking guy.
Yes. I watched it.
He hit him with... Anyway, but you go back...
Hit him with a ladder.
So, the deal with Corgan on John Schuyler's podcast, they brought in the guy from Resistance Pro Wrestling in Chicago. That's who Corgan kind of broke in with. So they shared some of the stuff about Corgan, and one of the things they said was, you know, Josephus was one of his guys that he liked, but they talked about some of the ideas that he thought was good, and just, you know,
Billy Corgan is a guy that starts an indie promotion.
Yeah,
he's just got more money.
Yeah. Right. Right.
He's just got more money than a lot of these other guys that start indie promotions.
Hey, yeah.
This is vanity for him, man. It's a labor of love. There's nothing wrong with it.
And so with Resistance Pro, he was starting from scratch. TNA, he's trying to turn around. This, I think he's hoping that the namesake of the NWA is going to elevate it.
It is, because I heard him say it on Joe Rogan's podcast.
Right.
He talked about, brand names.
Yeah.
Where even if it's not profitable, it's profitable because of the brand names.
Right.
He can afford to lose money.
Yeah, that's right.
His deal, the reason Smashing Pumpkins broke up, basically, was because when they first sat down to sign their contract, he writes all their songs.
Yeah.
And the management said, you need to share songwriting credit with all of your band.
Yeah.
Because I'm not speculating.
No.
These are the words that come out of his mouth on Joe Rogan's podcast.
Right.
And he said, because what happens is you release an album, and for every album you sell, the band splits the profit. But the songwriter gets another additional, 8 cents for every song. So he said their management was saying, we've seen it cause problems in bands because you are going to make a lot more money than they are if you take off.
Yeah.
And that's what happened.
Yeah.
And it took off, And then he started making whatever they were making. He was making so much more.
Right.
Because he was getting another 10 cents than they were off every – imagine that times several million.
Yeah.
10 cents times millions is a lot more money.
Yeah.
Than they were making. And it led to
– dissension.
Dissension with them. Wait, why – you know, why is he making so much more money?
Right.
And then they would go into these media sessions and people would just want to talk to him because he's right. The front man of the band.
Right.
A lot of bands can deal with that. A lot of them can't.
Right.
You know, and they couldn't.
Rolling Stones, U2.
They all split songwriting credit.
Whether
Bono and Edge write everything.
Right.
Or whether Richards and Jagger write everything.
Yeah.
They still share the credit with the rest of their band, so that won't happen.
Right. Right.
And so he's got money. Billy Corgan has got money to burn.
Yeah. And he is.
And he is burning it with his vanity. And there's, hey, man, I hope it's successful.
Yeah. But
I heard him say the two most prominent NWA wrestlers ever were Ric Flair and Dusty Rhodes. And that is not true.
Nah.
I would not argue Ric Flair.
Right.
And obviously Dusty belongs in that conversation, but if you don't get that Lou Thesz is the standard bearer.
Yeah.
Everybody in wrestling at one time carried a Halliburton briefcase with their stuff in it because Lou Thesz carried a Halliburton briefcase.
Yeah.
That's the only reason they carried one.
Yeah.
Is because Lou Thesz did.
Yeah.
If you don't know that Lou Thesz is the most prominent champion in the National Wrestling Alliance.
So Lou Thesz carried a Halliburton briefcase. He didn't wear a fanny pack?
Believe it or not, he did.
Would you?
And even if you take, to discount, you know, Jack Briscoe and Dory Funk
right.
and Gene Kaniski and Harley Race, I'm not saying Dusty doesn't belong in that conversation.
Right.
But Dusty, as far as being your champion,
mm-hmm.
is not the most prominent NWA champion.
Yeah. Have you read Jack Briscoe's book?
No, I haven't. I'd like to.
Before you leave today, I've finished it,
okay.
And it's autographed by William Murdoch, who's
cool.
A great author and stuff. So, mm-hmm. Well, fans, let's
We got to go back to Race and Steiner.
Oh yeah, that's right.
I guess put Harley Race down.
Race and Steiner, Harley Race, your winner. So just to run down, you had Lex Luger over Paul Orndorff, William Regal over Terry Taylor, Booker T over Magnum TA. Dusty Rhodes over Greg Valentine, DDP over Barry Windham, Harley Race over Scott Steiner, Arn Anderson over Kevin Sullivan, Ron Simmons over the Junkyard Dog, Blackjack Mulligan took out Ronnie Garvin, Dick Murdoch over Nikita Koloff, Goldberg over Hacksaw Jim Duggan, Vader made Tommy Rich's first foray into the tournament a short one, Ole Anderson with... thoughts and prayers out to Sting.
A vicious assault.
Vicious assault.
To the knee of Sting.
Attacked him after the bell, and promoter of the tournament, Mark Whitman, fining him $10,000 for his actions. Wahoo McDaniel defeated Rick Rude. Ric Flair defeated Butch Reed, and Brian Pillman defeated Tully Blanchard. All these men, this is a 128-person tournament. All these representatives of NWA and WCW have moved on to the second round. So we're going to be on our next episode talking about one of the other brackets. Not sure which one yet, but hey, you can go back. We'll have links to last year's tournament if you want to catch up and see why we're doing what we're doing. If you want to talk to us on Facebook, you can join our group, The Wrestling You Grew Up With. We're also on Twitter. I'm at Heath Mulliken.
I'm at the DDK Chef.
Make sure you go back, you know, doubledropkick.com. We have an actual website. You can check out all the stuff coming up.
Because, you know, we're a real podcast.
We're a real podcast. even though, you know, we didn't win a poll, you know.
They can win my poll, though.
Oh, good Lord of heaven and earth. Anyway, make sure if you are, even if you're not in the state of South Carolina, stay tuned. DoubleDropKick.com going to be branching out a little bit. 2018 going to start a new weekly thing, just South Carolina Wrestling Review, and going to add some stuff to our website highlighting the different promotions in the state of South Carolina. Just really, you know, wanting to let people know. We talked about that a lot on our last episode. But we're heading, man, we're only like 8 weeks short of our, let's see, 4 years. Mm-hmm. 4 year anniversary. Can you believe that? 4 years. Mm. We were young men when this started.
My legs are getting tired from carrying you two, boy.
I know, man. I know. Because from 4 years ago, like, I put on 50 pounds.
That's probably true.
So, but think about all the, you don't smoke anymore. You don't curse anymore.
You damn right.
So, anyway, hey, iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Google Play, all the places. It's the start of, man, what's going to be a pretty long series, our annual Ultimate Fantasy Wrestling Tournament. Thanks for tuning in. And for the Double Drop Kick Show, I'm Heath Mulliken.
And I'm Mark Whitman.
And that's it this week, fans. So long for now.